We are in Love Sunday. I just love it that we can just say we love one another tonight. I'm going to make you go around and tell people you love them, whether you like it or not. And I think it's good. So many times you get to express love to your group, but many times there are other people that you don't get to talk to. That's why we're having these things tonight, so you can get to talk to other people that are in the church, because as we're going to learn this morning, we're commanded to love everybody in the church. And that is so exciting to see what's going on there and see what God is doing in our church there for knowing that. And we are loving it from who we are. Get your paper out of who we are. Get this paper out right here of who we are. And I wanted you to see that. I'm going to be preaching through this. Pastor Kyle's preaching next Sunday, but then the three Sundays after that, I'm going to be preaching through this. There are 15 different points in it, and this morning I'm looking at five of them, and then we're going to just take our time through it. We are not going to get to discuss it very much. That's why I'm having my class, 8-week class, on this subject right here. And it is a paper back there. It's divided into 8 weeks, and it has Bible studies more than this does. But this morning I want you to look at the first thing of who we are. And we are a church that loves Jesus. We're a church that loves Jesus. It's very important. Number one. Everybody look at number one. We're a church that loves lost people. We want to see them saved. Jesus is the only Savior. Amen? And they need to realize they're lost. Do you know you have to be lost before you get found? You've got to realize, I'm a sinner on my way to hell, and I need Jesus. And if you're here this morning and that has not happened in your life, that you realize, I need a Savior. I'm going to hell. I'm not good enough. I have to be perfect, and I'm not. Only Jesus was perfect. He died for my sins. I got to trust His death to be my payment, and thus I can be saved by faith and grace, and it's gift, and it's wonderful. He's the Savior. And this church is all about honoring Him as our Savior and realizing that we, anybody, everybody, can be saved. That's wonderful. It's grace. And then you must be baptized. The Bible says, commands us all to be baptized. We're going to have a baptismal service April the 14th. If you've not been baptized biblically, we would like to move you into believer's baptism, and that is very important. April the 14th, we're going to have a baptismal service, so talk to me or Pastor Kyle, one of our deacons, and we'll move in that direction. Also, if you're a part of our church, you ought to be a member. That's an amen statement. If you're a part of our church, you ought to be a member. Okay. And, well, I had one person say, I quit joining churches because every church I joined, it fell apart. You know, when I was elected and when I was voted in 36 years ago as your pastor, Chester Huffman, how many of y'all remember Chester? He was wild. Chester said, everybody I voted for before you came didn't get it or didn't want it, so I voted against you so that you would come. Now, can you believe that was Chester's thinking? Oh, definitely. And but if you're attending our church and you've been attending for a while, you ought to be a member. That's just simple. And in the Bible, there's a Bible study on membership back there. It's a blue paper. If you've never studied the Bible on membership, you know there's no word in the Bible that says be a member. But there's all kinds of pronouns that there was a recognizable group called the church at Antioch. There was a recognized group, and I don't know how they did it, but everybody knew who was the church of Antioch. They knew. Somehow they had a list somewhere, or it was an unwritten list, but you knew. Are you part of this church? Yes, I am. And if this is your church, man, be a member. And we would just love to see that happen. If you'd like to be a member, there are papers on the back wall back there, and there's our constitution back there. We take membership very seriously, but we would love you to be a member of our church. Talk to me. I'd be happy to talk with you. It is not real hard. The deacons aren't real mean. It's pretty neat event. We take that as a joy of that. But our first point is this. Romans 10:9. Please don't turn there. Turn to your Bible at John 13:35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to the other. That's the key to this message. Being saved is Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Is that what it says? And it says, for it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with the mouth you confess and are saved. That's how you get saved. If that's not happened to your life, you need to pray that prayer right now. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe that you arose from the dead, that you're God, that you're my Savior, my sin Savior. Save me! By faith, call upon His name and He'll save you. And we believe that everybody should have any genuine salvation experience at our church. And we take that seriously, but it is pretty simple, but yet it is deep, and it is a commitment, and it's not light, and it's real, and it's wonderful, and it's all by grace. Number two here, we are a church that loves praying. That's number two. It's number two on your paper there. Look, just read it through. I'm not going to read it all through. We take prayer very seriously. We love communicating with the Father, and it's one of the highest privileges of a believer, and prayer brings heaven down to earth. It's exciting. And if you have much prayer in your life, you'll have much power. If you have little prayer in your life, you'll have what? Little power. And prayer is one of the keys in your life, and it's very, very important. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 8, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And from prayer you get this, and the God of peace shall be with you. Is that right? That we're a praying church, and we want praying people. That's why 2019 is Pray 2019. And we believe in prayer very much, the power of prayer. The next one is you go to the back of your paper, number 10. Number 10, I'm jumping around. Number 10 is we love sinners. We love sinners. Our church is a church where we just don't want spectators. We think everybody should be a participant. Is that right? Everybody should have a job in the church. It takes a lot. We were here, Patrick was here yesterday, and Ron was here yesterday with the sound system, talking about how we can better have our sound system. To have a sound system and you hear it takes a lot of work. Y'all just don't realize. Also, they're all working. Patrick and Ron are trying to get you to hear the instruments, the wind instruments, and the organ and all of them, and put them all together and balance it. It's impossible. But we're trying. Is that right? We want you to have a holistic, and we love it all. And to have that, you just don't realize. We found we have some dead spots in the church there. Huh? You know, and it takes a lot. I don't know if you've ever turned around and looked back there up where Ron's out, but there's a stack of things, and there's antenna, and there's rabbit ears going in every direction, and you're sitting there going, whoa. And does it take a lot to make our church function? You should have a part. It's a part where we're all a part here, and we're all about missions. Your giving, 25%, that's all in verse number 10. It's not verse, but number 10 there on the back of your page on missions. Evangelism. 25%, about 25% of what every dollar you give to this church goes to missions. Do you know that? That's something you should get excited about. Very few churches would have that percentage. Very few. When we built our building, the people who came in and gave us directions on building says, you can't build a building and have a missions budget of 25%. I said, well, we're going to. And we did. And we're going to continue. We spend a lot of money on missionaries. We believe in missionaries. Amen? We want our people to be missionaries. We want our people to go on missions trips. We want people to become missionaries. We've had a lot of missionaries to come out of our church. The Bradens right over there, one of them come out of our church. And it's very, very important to realize that that's what we're all about. We believe every member should be a missionary. Every one of us are involved in evangelism and discipleship. Evangelism is everybody's business. And we should love sinners just as much as God does in John 3:16. That's heavy. And that is so important that we're... Acts chapter 8, let me just read it to you. Acts chapter 8, it says, "Then Philip opened his mouth." Philip wasn't an apostle. He was a deacon. "And beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to them. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.'" You got to believe first, is that right? And then it says, "And he answered and said," here it is, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's it. I believe. And that's what saved him. But Philip's job was to express it. And we are to be about God of expressing it, befriending and sharing Calvary's love with family, friends, co-workers, neighbors, strangers. Amen? Let it be normal. That's our job. We love sinners to Jesus is our third point, number 10. Jump down to number 15. Number 15, we love strong and stable Bible people and families. Counseling. We believe in biblical counseling. We believe that the Bible has the answer to direct you in the leading of your children and the rearing of your children, your teenagers, husbands and wife. Is that right? God's way works. And we want that to be happening there. And it's the power to change. Change lives. It has the solution for all personal and family problems. It's the Bible. And we want to produce strong and stable families here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me just read it to you. This is a great verse. If you've not known this verse, you need to mark this in your Bible. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all" what? Comfort. Now, why do we have problems? Look at this. Why do we have problems? He's the source of all comfort. Here it is in white there. He comforts us in all of our troubles. Okay? He comforts us. We get it. We open the Bible and we let it give us comfort. Is that right? The promises and the precepts and the principles. We believe them. Is that right? We claim them. Even in terrible events. Okay? Then it says this. Why do we have troubles? Here it is. Why do we get comforted? So that we can comfort who? So you have to experience it, some troubles, some difficulties, some disappointments, and grab God in the midst of them and come through so that you can comfort other people. That's biblical counseling. And it's very important that you realize that's why we come to church on Sunday morning to Sunday school. The more Bible you get in, the more promises you can stand upon. And the more promises you stand upon, the more people you can help. Amen. That's the issue. Why do you go through these things? Every person we talk to gives us a story of when they were in the hospital, this happened, I got to help this person. You know, Barb and Lynn are in the hospital right now. You should ask them, has God showed himself through your hospital stay here? You better be prepared to listen to Lynn talk for an hour. God's there with them. God's with them. Is it terrible what's going on earthly speaking? Yes. Is it unbearable? Yes. But is God there? Yes. And is he wanting to comfort you with his truth that you claim the promises? Why? So that you can give it to someone else to claim. And you really can't understand it until you walk through it. and see that it really works. This promise works. God had me here and I didn't like it, but I seen that God had me here to touch this person, this person, this person. And if I hadn't had that, I wouldn't have been able to touch these people. And so you comfort. You've been comforted so that you can comfort others when they have trouble. That's one of the great verses there. 2 Corinthians 1:4. It says, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, we don't like that part, the more God will shower us with His comfort through Christ so that we can give it to other people so they can be comforted. That's biblical counseling. And we believe in that, and we want every person to be involved in that to realize, why does bad things happen to good people? So they can see God and share what they've seen. So people can realize He's really alive, and it changes their lives, and it is just wonderful. My last point. Now don't get ready to leave. It's the biggest, okay? My last point is I love my church. I love my church. We love, this is number 11. Number 11. Everybody look at number 11. Number 11, right in the middle of the back page. We love everybody in our church in so many ways that outsiders will want to become insiders. That is the key to church growth. If a church is not doing this, they're moving in the wrong direction for church growth, and most of our churches today are moving in the wrong direction for church growth. Church growth is they see you loving one another, helping one another, caring for one another, being with one another, standing behind one another, in front of one another, praying for one another, helping one another. Wow, that's what I want, the family of God. And if you're not experiencing that, get with us more. If you're just a little bit on the outside, get on it. Come to our love feast tonight and let us love you. And you'll realize what the church is all about. Tonight you'll see what the church is all about. And that's very, very important to catch that and to realize that, wow, it's our job to love one another. Number 11 there, look at it there. One of our big deals is we want our adults and our teens connecting with one another. We want our children connecting with our adults, our teens connecting with our adults connecting with our teenagers and children. It's a big deal in our church. I love it when I see a teenager talking to an adult. I like it when a young adult is talking to an older adult. Okay. In so many churches, it's all age-leveled setup. Is that true? Either a church of the 20s or a church of the 40s or a church. I believe with all my heart that God wanted the church to be all four generations. Okay? I'm at the top of the heap of the generations. I'm called old. Okay? You might be called young. Do we need one another? Terribly. Do young people need old people? Let me state this. I want to amen. Do old people need young people? Yes. Yes. That's one big point about our church. That's a big point about our church. And we go on missions trips, and you realize the teenagers. I remember many years ago, my daughter went on the missions trip to Mexico. And she was complaining before we went, oh, you old people are coming with us. Blah, 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 blah. When she came back, she was so excited. Oh, you old people came with us. You know, they know how to fund, but we have money. Okay. And then put those two together, you have a big time. We encourage our older people to talk to our young people, and we encourage our young people to talk with our older people. Is there naturally a generation gap? Yes, yes. When I'm talking to my grandchildren, I just say, I don't have a clue what they're talking about. Oh, really? You know, how many of you grandpas know the term Fortnite? I don't want to learn the term Fortnite, okay? And but I found something cool about Fortnite. And I put this to Andrew. He says, I never thought something good would come out of your mouth about Fortnite or any of those games. I was, my grandkids here were playing Fortnite, and they said, we're playing with Arden and Liam, my other grandkids that are in Pennsylvania. And they were sitting there talking to one another with a video game. Talking. And I walked over and I said, hello, Arden. And Arden from Pennsylvania said, well, hello, Grandpa. How you doing? I go, this is cool. And so they were sitting there killing people all over the place. You know, watch out. Watch out behind you. Watch out behind you. They're talking to one another for hours. My grandboys are talking to one another. You know, I like that. And, you know, I'm not... Young people got to get interested in old people stuff. And old people got to get interested in young people stuff. Is that right? That's a good church. A good church is all old people. No. A good church is all young people. No. God intended for the older to teach the younger. Is that what it says? And you can't do that unless you're naturally together. And I don't believe the new churches are going for the 20s, you know what I'm saying, or the 40s, and kicking out all the old people. That's terrible. That's terrible. And that's a distinctive of our church. And that's number 11. Let's keep reading. Right in the middle of that, it starts out right in the middle, right under Titus chapter 2, verse 2. Look at it. Be with me. It says, our church. Are you with me? Our church desires to be known as a John 13:35 church, a brotherhood of Matthew 8, in which our people holistically, hope you understand that, holistically, you think of the whole thing, not just your part, are loving, sacrificial, helping and encouraging each other in so many ways, their family, friends, neighbors, and co-workers will want their biblical Christianity. Loving brothers and others is the heartbeat of our John 13:35 church family. Amen? Don't... You know, do I understand teenagers and all that? No. Do teenagers understand me? No. But can I talk with them and get into their life a little bit? You know, they're passing me by fast. I thought I was a fast runner one time. But as I'm getting older, I'm getting what? And they're just passing me by. I can let that bother me, or I can say, hey, slow down. I can gripe at them, or I can talk to them as they fly by. Hey, you know. Hello. And they're, you know, and they need to do the same as they're flying by. They need to say, hey, preacher. We can do it. We've been doing it for 36 years, and it gives stability to the family, the teenagers, and it gives energy to the old people. Usually we've done two building projects since I've been here. It's been the old people that said, let's build. That's rare in a church. Why? Because they're interested in the young people. They give money to build a gym over here 10 years ago, and they don't even know how to play basketball. Why? Because they love teenagers. Is that it? And the teenagers, you need to remember, you didn't give the money to build that gym. You need to appreciate that. And we need one another. That's why it's called a local church. I love our church. I love the size of our church. I think we should grow. I think we're going to grow. But what we got is great. And I enjoy it every day, okay? Now let's flip to our other paper. Let's go to our other paper. You must love each person in your church. you must love each person in your church. Now, this is heavy. I want you to know, I found this paper on the internet and connected with John Piper a little bit, but this is heavy. Please don't sit down and read it right now. I'm going to talk my way through it. I wish the only thing I needed to do and I haven't done is number the paragraphs so we could run down through the paragraphs. I want you to look at the first paragraph. It just says, we live in a day where we're all different. Some of you are really different, okay? And we get on each other's nerves. We disagree with stuff. We annoy people. You know, some are real orderly and some of us are real messy. Some of us are by the book and some of us are spontaneous. I'm describing myself. And some of us are last minute and some of us are a month in advance planning. Okay? Okay, we're all different. Is that right? And God told us to love one another. Okay? That means that I got to get more orderly and time-oriented and all that. And Ask Ron Lee, I have worked on my life to change. I've changed my personality in a lot of areas. I am on time, at least a minute late as on time. But my wife has stretched also that it doesn't have to be a half hour late, you know. And if you're not doing that in a family, you're fighting all the time. Y'all know that? Fighting all the time. Because usually husbands and wives are different in a lot of ways. Huh? And if you're not compromising and learning from one another and respecting one another's personality, we're all different. And that's in a church. It happens in a family. It happens with siblings. It happens with different, your brothers and sisters, your adult brothers and sisters. Then you get into work. Then you get into school. Then you get into church. You get into other groups. God created the group. It's called the local church. And he says, you're all different. Now get along. Get along. And this paper is on that. Look at the third paragraph down in the big, I don't know what color yours is. It's in the big blue. It says, the church is filled with messy people. Amen to that, preacher. Okay. Look at the next paragraph. John Bloom, that's on the staff of Desiring God from John Piper. It says, right in the middle of your paper, it says, but this is the way it's supposed to be because the mess is what draws out the one thing that advances the church's mission more than anything else, and that is to love one another. Is it easy to love one another? No, but God does it. God will help you. And it's I would like to choose everybody that comes to my church. Did Jesus' disciples get to choose who the other disciples were? You know, there was a tax collector. I mean to tell you, he would have been a thief and a robber and everything. Tax collector, a liar. There was a zealot. Do you know what zealots were? They were fighting for every opinion they ever had. It's my way or the highway. They were zealots. And then you had Big Mouth Peter. Stick his foot in his mouth all the time. And then there's some of the apostles, of the 12 apostles, you know nothing about. They were shy guys, quiet guys, probably dependable guys. You know, Peter was always shouting and hollering, but they were there too. And then you have people that are quiet. They didn't get to choose who was the disciples. Jesus chose them. The early church, that's the next paragraph. The early church didn't get to choose who was in the church. They were just all, you think you have it bad. You should have a church with Jews and Gentiles in. More so, you should have a church with Jews and Palestinians. Do you know how much they hate one another? We were over in Israel and we went to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a Palestinian city, okay? And the Palestinian church tried to get the Jewish church to come. The Christians, the Bible people, tried to get the biblical ones that were from the Palestinians and the Jews to get together at a men's retreat. You know what they had? They had war. that hatred goes what? Deep. Deep. He says, we couldn't get it. He said they'd come, they'd stay in the Jews' camp, and they'd stay in the Palestinian camp, never got together. You say, well, that's terrible. I want you to know, we don't have that much of prejudice in our world and problems. And here they had that. Look at the bottom of your page. Bottom of your page. At the bottom of the first page, it says, the church is the venue that Jesus has given us to love one another in, to grow in, to bring others to. Catch this. A community of diverse, sin-polluted, defective individuals from all sorts of life-shaping, past living style, life together in an impossible love. We're all different. And God says, I'm going to put you all together and I'm going to call it a local church. Now, a function and win the world. Well, I can't even get along with this person right here. Get along. And then on the backside. It just second paragraph says, our God is the God of the impossible. You know, if God doesn't put us together as a local church, it doesn't happen. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And God does the work. God lets me love you. And he does it. It's God doing it. Look at the paragraph right in the middle. It has the big print there. A church's greatness starts out there. Go to that paragraph. A church's greatness. A church's greatness is measured by the quality of its love. This is shown through honor, respect, hospitality, harmony, unity, including each other, persevering together through difficult times and issues, bearing burdens, forgiveness, encouragement, fellowship, meeting together, and letting love cover a multitude of difficulties. I'm going to end on that point. That's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. But that's a local church. Drop down two more paragraphs where it says, Bloom expresses. It says, churches are designed to be communities of impossible love that only work if God is real and Christ's sacrifice is real and heaven is real. Huh? I love you because Christ loved who? Me. I forgive you because Christ forgave me. Did I deserve it? No. Do I have people in the church that doesn't deserve it? Yes. But do you love them anyway? Yes. Yes. And it's in the box there. In the box, we're all very different. We all have different expectations. We all have different ways we think it should go, where way it should work. We have different ideas of, you know, these people aren't living up to my expectations. Where it says, if you don't focus on love, right in the bold at the bottom, it says, we cannot withhold forgiveness for someone and love them at the same time. It's got to happen, and you got to realize I got to love everybody in the church. And the last paragraph at the bottom, in our church, we must love the people we're with no matter what. They're commanded to love us just as much as we're commanded to love them. When you are doing something wrong, you want to be showing grace and giving forgiveness. In our church, we must use this same eagerness to receive forgiveness and grace as to showing it and giving it to others. When broken people love each other, here it is. We show the world the kind of love Jesus has for us. Is that right? At the bottom of the page it says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, Jesus said, if you have love one toward another. You got to love everybody. And the people outside will see it and want to become insiders. And that's what the love is all about. Take your Bible and turn with me to John chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. This is the depth of love I want you to go to. Luke chapter 6, verse 32. Steve, come up and read it for us, please. Luke chapter 6, verse 32.
If you don't have a pew, if you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in the pew right in front of you. It would be on page 701. If you have that, if you would stand as we read God's Word together. We're going to be in John chapter 6, starting in verse 32, and we'll be going through verse 38. Luke 6:32. For if ye love them which love you, what thank ye have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, who thank ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye have hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met withal, it shall be measured to you again. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Thank you. You may be seated.
Luke chapter 6, verse 32 there. It is so important that we grasp what's going on in verse 27 and 28 and 29 and 30. It just says, love your enemy, bless those who curse you, pray for those who hurt you, do good to those. As you would wish the golden rule that people do to you, do also to them, okay? And then it says, how do you love your enemy? How do you do that? In verse 32, it says, if you love those who are lovable, even the sinners do that. Is that right? You got to love people better than the sinners do. You got to love people better than the Pharisees do. That's a new level of love. That's hitting me. And he says, you are to do these things. He says, do good to them. They do good. If they expect to be paid back, they do that. But the Christian goes the extra mile. And this is so important that we realize this. Now, this extra mile stuff, you know, if they want your coat, give them your tunic, you know, all of that, you know. Now, this is not talking about personal injury. This is not talking about something legal. This is not life-threatening. This is not threatening your livelihood. This is not a one-time event. This is not something that, you know, they take and you have to have these things. These are things that you have an extra coat and you see this person in need of the coat and you give him a coat and he said, boy, I'd like your shirt too. If you have two shirts, give it to him. A Christian goes the extra mile, and if they curse you, you know, I've been falsely accused. I've been accused of things, and you know, I have people, when we had people in our church many years ago, one of our good men, a man that I knew, I was visiting their door. He says, I wouldn't come to your church because this person did this or this person did this. And I looked him straight in the face and I says, I don't believe they did. He's my what? He's my brother. And they did. I said, well, let's go right to him and ask him. Well, you know. No. You know, I've had people to do that, and I don't have to defend myself if I'm not guilty, what? And we need to understand that wow, you know, these are, you know, this person's blowing up. When a person's blowing up, is something else going on in their life? Yeah. You know, many times you're just there at the last straw that broke it, okay? But there's some problems. I had a person to bless me out one time for going paintballing, and they were so mad because I was teaching people to kill people. I said, you've never been paintballing. That's a ball. Okay. And you don't kill anybody. Oh, she was mad. They was going to leave the church. And I said, something else is wrong. She turned to her husband and says, you haven't cleaned the garage for 25 years. I knew something was else, you know. I could have responded to that. I just knew, you know, it's got to be, there's something bigger. Come on, come on. You're having a bad day. Many times they're misunderstanding somebody just blowing. Is that true? Many times misunderstanding. We got to give them the benefit of the, I love you, you're my brother. Oh, you're cursing me out, but you're my brother. Something's, we're missing something. Put your arm around him and say, let's talk. We're missing, somebody's missing something. I'm either missing your heart or you're missing my heart. And the brothers guy, they get together and it says this, this is so important that you do this. Verse 32 all the way to 38 is an interpretation of 27 to 31 where it says, do good to your enemy, love your enemy, bless your enemy, pray for your enemy, and give your shirt to your enemy, give your coat to your enemy. If they ask anything, give it to them. You're not saying, I'm going to, okay, if you want my house, I'll give you my house. No, no. It's talking about stuff that you have abundance of. It's got some wisdom here. And he says, don't just act like sinners. Sinners give to people expecting something return. But a believer gives it expecting not to be returned. Oh, you know, oh, you need a coat. Here, have mine. You can just keep it. Huh? You can just keep it. He forgets to give it back to you. You can storm over to him and try to get that. Or he can say, hey, he probably needs it more than I do. I got another. It's a Christian goes the extra mile and loves, doesn't judge. In verse 37, 38, they're just condemning. And he says, don't. He says, forgive. In a church family, in your own family, do people do you dirty? And if you hold a grudge all the time, who does it hurt? You. And we have families and members that haven't spoken to one another. We used to build a church on families. My man that I learned all of my church growth positions from is if you get an unsaved family and get them saved and start discipling them, you'll get all of their family to come to church. It happens. The family was the key. I've had people to tell me, if my dad starts coming to the church, I'm out of here. Has the family disintegrated today? It has. And that's bad, because that's what God wanted to build on, His love. And you only show that in the family, in the church. And too many churches have become platform churches. What goes up on here is all the fun stuff, and you're just sitting there, just spectators. No, no. You should be involved. And, well, you can't do that. No family. It is true. But as for me and my house, what? We're going to build strong families here. We must build strong families. I got it on our website. If you're looking for a church that is dead serious about producing strong families and good teenagers, come and check us out. Because we're all about that. And we have a lot of fun here. We have a lot of fun here. But we're dead earnest about you knowing the Bible and knowing Jesus and living for Him and giving your life for Him. And that because that's life. That's joy. That's peace. And it's very important that we catch that. I'm preaching longer than Pastor Kyle. I'm going to skip Romans 14. I want y'all to go there because it just says your personal opinions, your preferences, your upbringing, your personalities. If something's not in the Bible and you're holding to it, there were two guys, they were both businessmen and they were treating their employees differently and they were fussing. Well, you don't give your employees 2 weeks vacation. You don't do this. You don't pay their insurance. And they were just fussing. He says, folks, you let the both of the employers deal with theirs. Don't you get involved. God is the judge. Is that right? They're all going to stand before God. Don't you get involved. You just do one thing. You make certain everything you do doesn't cause somebody to stumble or to go back into sin. And you judge yourself. Don't judge them. Let that judgment go to God. If it's a personality or preference or opinion, get a life. You know. And that's so important. God does that. Now, it's Bible. It's a different subject. And Romans 14 is all about that. And turn with me to one last passage. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. 1 Peter 4, 8. Everybody's got to have this, and I'm closing. This is such an important issue in differences. In marriage counseling, I spend a lot of time on this one. It just says, love covers a multitude of what? Sins. Love just covers them. You know, my wife sees the stupid stuff I do, and she just covers it. And I try to beg her to cover it. And I keep her exercised in covering. Because we're different. Do you know as a couple you can fight all the time? You figure that out? Fight all the time. Well, you brushed your teeth differently than I do. The big issue in our family is Ronnalee eats her corn on the cob wrong. She eats it round. You're supposed to eat it like a typewriter. Okay, here we go. How many of you eat your corn like a typewriter? Come on. How many of you eat your corn around? I talked to one family. They said the biggest fight we ever had in our home was he got up in the night and went into the bathroom to brush his teeth, and he used my toothbrush. Well, quit kissing him. Love covers a multitude of differences. And if you don't have it in your own home, teenagers, you got to have that too with mom and dad. Is that true? You can fight all the time. Fight all the time. They're different. You know, our kids would, you know, Tim would want to wear breeches that looked like pajamas. And used to be, I made a rule, can't wear that. Then I realized that, is it wrong? No. Is it stupid? Yes. Can they wear it? Yes. You know, why fight on an issue that's not an issue? Is that right? You know, if is it biblical? Is it immoral, immodest? No, it just looks stupid. I'm not going to fight on that. It's just different. And couples fight on that all the time. Parents and teenagers fight on it all the time. Now, there are issues, immodest, immoral, biblical, issues. Don't. But get along. Love covers. I love you. You know, you left your britches laying in the floor, and I picked them up. I love you. You know, you left the milk out all night, and it rotted in the morning, and we had to go buy no more milk. I love you. Is that right? At the church, there's differences. Some of us are, and then some of us are, you know. And if you're not careful, you'll just go crazy. Love covers what? A multitude of differences in your home, with your parents and your children, your teenagers, and in the church. And it's so important to realize that we're going to get along. You're my brother. We're different as night and day. But God put us in this church. Is that right? And this is my church. Huh? This is my church. And we want you to come and join us. And it's different. It's exciting. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's just sing the song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. We'll sing the other one tonight. I'm so glad, if you'll find that, Nathan, I'm so glad I'm a part. We'll just sing it a cappella. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many of you say this morning, preacher, I needed this message. At some point, I needed this message. Can I see your hand? I need this message morning. I need this message. Very important. Wow. God put us all here, and we're to love everybody. And some are harder to love than others. But I'm going to love you. Why? Because Christ commanded me, and my love for you because of my love for Christ, covers over our differences and we don't fight.